My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. That's the Memphis Fight Song. Last week, you'll recall at this very moment, we actually had the Mighty Sound of the South in here playing the Memphis Fight Song. That's a recording of the Memphis Fight Song, but it signifies that Ed Scott's in studio. I appreciate that. And as I said earlier, this was not because Ed had things he needed to get off his chest about the last developments of the last 3 days. This has been in the works for... This has been in the works for 2 weeks, having Ed on the show. It just happens there's been some news since then. So before we get to any of that, Ed, I meant to just have this be a Welcome to Memphis interview. Welcome to Memphis. How's it been?
Oh, thank you, Jeff. It's been great. As you and I talked about a little bit before, everyone's been extremely welcoming. Most importantly, for those who saw my press conference, my daughter is settled. And if she settled...
Did you drop her off this morning?
No, but I did make lunch.
You did make lunch. Yeah. What was lunch?
It was peanut butter and jelly, strawberries, blueberries, and fruit snacks for her dessert. Uh-huh. And she likes little shapes in the morning. And so today was Daddy's Day to make her lunch. So it was awesome.
Okay. So you did that. You're settled.
Yep. And
In terms of all of this stuff, let me start with just the personnel changes.
Yeah.
What should Memphis fans... It's obviously, as the release, Penny said in the release, timing's not ideal.
Yep.
What should Memphis fans think about those personnel chances, including Rick's departure, this close to the start of the season?
Well, the first thing is I want to make clear to everybody that Penny Hardaway is our head basketball coach, and these were his decisions. My job as the athletic director is to support Penny, right, and creating the environment that he wants to be able to create to try to win. So that's the first thing I want to clear up for everybody, because I've seen some things on Twitter and some of these other things. New AD's coming in telling Penny he's
got to do this, got to clean house.
No, that's not my job.
Does it work, though, that you... Is this in consultation with you? How does that work?
Yeah, in all transparency, yeah. Penny and I have talked about my expectation for Penny this year, and he has the same expectation. How do we get to the postseason, and how do we make a run? And then from there, we have conversations about what he wants to do with his program, right? And any good AD, their job is to help facilitate that. So that was my role in the process, but we didn't discuss individual people and their strengths and weaknesses. I have to trust him to run the program. Otherwise, I should coach basketball, and I'm telling you, Memphis fans, you do not want that. You know, you really don't.
Were you wary of the timing?
What Penny said in his statement was right on par for what we talked about, right? The timing's not ideal in the sense that we're about 2 months before the season. These young men are back and they're working their butts off right now. But leadership is hard and you got to make tough decisions, and Penny made tough decisions. So for that, I'm really proud of Penny, right, for doing what he thinks is in the best interest of his program. And I can tell you there's no shortage of interest in our assistant coaching jobs. I'm getting calls from assistant coaches, and my line is, look, it's Penny's decision, and you got to work through Penny on that.
Just on this, on that topic, a couple more things.
Sure.
Were the departures NCAA related? Were they NCAA violation related?
And the answer to that is simply no, right? And I'll attack this for you right now so you don't even have to ask the corollary question.
Yeah.
The timing of this was coincidental in the sense that the move was made by Penny with these four individuals, and then later that day is when I first saw the contents of that letter. So this was not a reactionary move to any NCAA pending investigation.
Or the ongoing one.
No, regarding the academic piece.
The academic piece.
Yeah, no, it honestly had nothing to do with that. This was a basketball decision, and as I said, I didn't learn about the contents of the letter until Pat Forty had reached out to our staff. So from that standpoint, no, it was about basketball.
Are they getting paid this year? Is Rick Stansbury getting paid this year?
I'm not going to go into that. That would be too much personnel information. I wouldn't want anybody discussing my situation like that. So out of respect for those gentlemen, I'm not going to touch that.
Okay. Onward to the letter.
Yeah.
The first time you saw the contents of the letter was when SI got in touch with you about the...
Yeah, exactly. Terrence Lally, who you met earlier today, sent me a text and said, hey, you need to see this. Pat Forty just sent this to our staff. And that's the first time I saw the contents of the letter. I did know about the letter, and I told you about this before. You know how transparent I am. I think it's one of the things that we enjoy about each other so far. I found out about the existence of a letter during the interview process. And if there are any aspiring ADs, there are four questions that Carla Williams has ingrained in me and all my other mentors that you got to ask in an AD interview. Are there any issues with the board? Is there any pending litigation I should be aware of? Are there any Title IX cases I need to know about? And is there anything going on with the NCAA? And in fairness to President Hargrave, which he has been absolutely phenomenal from the interview to all the way through yesterday, right? He's just had my back. He told me that there was a letter, and that letter was turned over to the NCAA. And then I didn't ask any more questions.
So that letter that came out this week, that had been turned over to the NCAA a good while ago. Before you'd interviewed it.
Before I even interviewed, yeah. And so I was a candidate at the time, so he couldn't discuss the actual contents of the letter, so that's why I said...
Is that really how it works? You can't know the particulars?
No, because if I don't get the job, then I'm sitting with information that's inappropriate for me to have, right? And here's the other thing, Jeff. This is my second time in the chair, as you know, and certain things I don't want to know if I don't have to know. What I have to trust is that they got the information, they did exactly what they were supposed to do, and put it in the hands of the NCAA.
Does Memphis do its own investigation as well, or do you just, here's this letter, here you go, NCAA?
Well, every school does it differently. Regardless, you need to turn it over to the NCAA, even if you do your own investigation. My sense is that Memphis looked into it as much as they could, but you got to be careful, because if you start meddling into these things before the NCAA does their job, now all of a sudden it looks like you're impacting the investigation. I haven't handled one of these major infraction cases before in my career. Not saying this is, and I also want to be clear about this. Is. To my knowledge, I got a briefing yesterday from my deputy, Lauren, we have not received a formal notice of allegations from the NCAA regarding this letter that you and I are discussing right now.
Can you say anything about the merits, the allegations in the letter? Do you believe them to be true?
I don't know enough, really, to be able to say that or not say that. So my position right now is with the NCAA. I'm going to let them do their job as I've done at every stop. And then what I can tell you is after that process works itself out, if there are things that we need to be held accountable for that we did wrong, we'll stand up, as I told everyone in Memphis, and we'll be accountable for it. But if there's things that we haven't done that we're accused of doing, I'm going to defend us vigorously. So that's just my position. That's how I've always tried to handle these things.
And then the last one of these thorny topics is the ongoing investigation, the ongoing issue before the NCAA involving the academic stuff, the academic piece. Do you have any sense? You all self-reported that.
Yep.
Do you have any sense of the timing of when you will be hearing from the NCAA about that?
No, I don't. And you know this because you've been doing this a long time. The NCAA can move at a glacial pace at times. And so I'm going to let them work their process through, see what the findings are, and then we'll make informed decisions on how we move forward. So I don't know exactly when they're going to give us a decision on that. But when they do, we'll be prepared and we'll move forward.
So you arrive in the midst of all of this, and there is this iconic figure as the basketball coach.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know. You might have been a Penny fan once upon a time.
I had his shoes when I was younger.
You had
He's
his shoes.
A little bit older than me,
right.
So I did have his shoes, yeah.
So, and what's how have you forged a relationship with Penny? What has been your relationship with Penny through all of this?
I really appreciate that question, especially after the thorny questions as you described them, right? I mean, for me, Penny is a wonderful human being, right? He's been gracious to me. I've had dinner with Penny and the team at his house already. I treat him no differently than I treat Ryan Silverfield or Brooks or any of our head coaches, right? You know my pedigree better than most, but I've had the pleasure of working with Rick Pitino when I was at Louisville. Kevin Brodus, you know, who I worked right. with at Binghamton, and Morgan, who's one of the better, under-the-radar basketball coaches in America, candidly. Mike Lonergan, and we had a lot of success at GW, and then obviously Tony Bennett, one of the GOATs, right? So
right.
I'm used to dealing with big personalities, and I'm comfortable with that. I think to be an AD and have to deal with personalities of the stature of Penny, you've really got to be comfortable in your own skin. So we talk, myself and Penny, and myself and Ryan, just so everyone's clear, I try not to go more than 48 hours without speaking to those guys. I want them to know I got their back, and Penny and I have a great relationship, and what I've learned about Penny is he really cares, right?
Right.
Think about this. The guy had made really good money as an all-NBA player. He's one of the guys who has not, tricked his money off, so to speak, as we say in my neighborhood. He's one of the guys who did well with his money, right?
Right.
So he's doing this not to get paid. He's doing it because he believes he can win, and he cares about Memphis, and he cares about the institution. And so if that's the common denominator, I love working with someone like that, you know? And so as I told you earlier, working with Penny, you have to understand in this city, anything he does or does not do is going
right.
to be national news. And I'm comfortable with that. Your job is to talk about what I do for a living.
Right.
And if we respect each other's position, then we can move forward that way.
Do you expect Penny to be the head coach game one this year and going forward?
Absolutely. Unequivocally. Based on every piece of information I have right now today, Penny Hardaway is going to be on that sideline, marching up and down and trying to get us a victory when Missouri comes in here. Hands down. And I know Dennis Gates, and I love you, Dennis, if you hear this. we want to beat you, bro.
All right. What are, by the way, the expectations for Memphis basketball? Quite apart from all of this, just yeah. generally, when you look at Memphis basketball,
yep.
what should it be doing on a year-in, year-in basis?
Well, I think from a budgetary standpoint, we're positioned extremely well, even within the Power Four, right? When I've worked with Tony Bennett. I know what that budget looks like.
Right.
One of my best friends, Shamari Brown, oversees basketball at Iowa State. They're going to be a top five preseason program, and our budget's bigger than theirs, right? So when I look at the resources we have, we're in great place. We always need to work harder on NIL, especially in football, especially in men's basketball. We got to do better for our women's sports. But for men's basketball here at Memphis, you need to be in the NCAA tournament, and we need to make a run. Now, before you ask the question, because I know how smart and astute you are, I don't put a number on my coaches, right?
Right.
I'm not saying you got to win a certain number of games because injuries happen, things happen. But what I want to see is us prepare a program that can compete and make a deep run in the NCAA tournament, because I think that's the Memphis pedigree.
Part of what you did, and I don't know if people are familiar with this, but when you got to Morgan State, it was in serious trouble.
Yes, sir.
And a lot, some of it was academic.
Yeah.
And a lot of what you did was build up the academic part.
Of course.
We obviously, not to get into what went wrong in the academic, or if anything did last year with the investigation.
Yep.
What's your role in sort of making sure all of that works smoothly and the way it's supposed to? And how do you draw on your experience, if you want to tell people a little bit about what happened at Morgan State, how do you draw on your experience there dealing with what's happening here?
Yeah, I will. Morgan State, to me, is always a special place. If you saw Dr. Wilson's quote, he called me the beloved son, and that brought a tear to my eye, right? I went into Morgan, and they were in difficult shape, and he needed somebody to clean it up, and I wanted to be an AD. I was 36 years old when I got my first Division I AD job, and so we had over 100 violations at Morgan State due to academics and financial aid, right? And it wasn't malicious. It was a lack of education and a lack of outside experience. And so what I did is I brought in Terrence Lally. I brought in a team who had other experience. And then what we did is we fought the NCAA case where we thought we were wrongly accused of some things. And we got 7 of the 10 teams off a postseason ban. We got probation reduced by a year, and we reduced the fine from $65,000 down to $19,000, right? And we did that, and then we went to the NCAA and said, we need a grant from you to bolster our academics. And we got an $883,000 grant, if I'm not mistaken. And so what we did is we ended up hiring 4 academic staffers, a learning specialist. I turned it over to Terrence Lally and said, you manage this, because I had hired him at Binghamton. And I think when I got there, we had a 2.6 or a 2.65 GPA. When I left, we were about almost a 3.3 GPA as a department. And here's something I'm really proud of. I have a goosebump saying this right now. We raised the federal graduation rate, which is hard to do, not the GSR, the Fed rate, by 19% in my five and a half years at Morgan State. So that experience allows me not to panic, right? So anyone listening to this, the things we need to clean up, we're going to clean up.
Well, that's that partly it has seemed like.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of coaching talent on Penny's staffs. There's been a lot of basketball talent on his rosters. Yeah. It's the buses running on time, whether they're academic buses or otherwise, that seems to be, has been an issue. And I don't know if an AD clearly is in a position to help with that.
Yeah, and so my job is to be the best server in the athletic department, right? I'm a servant leader. What that means is for Penny, I'm his screener, right? So he can come off me and pick and pop or get to the hole, do what he's got to do. For Ryan, I'm his lead blocker. My job is to neutralize the linebacker, and if he gets one-on-one with a safety, he better win, right? And so
I'm not sure about Ryan winning one-on-one with the safety.
Hey, you better watch that, man. That's my guy, right? But no, in all honesty, if we take that mentality as an administration, our job is to put the coaches in position to be successful, Mike down at LSU beat me to this, but I've always said my job is to be the producer and produce the set and the resources for the coaches. The coaches are the directors, and the student-athletes are the actors. Now, the problem for me as a former student-athlete that was decent, you know, I'm old and washed up now, is that I can't impact the game directly anymore, so I have to set the stage for the coaches and the students to do that. And as an administration, we have to do a better job supporting our coaches. It's one of the areas I do think we can improve on at Memphis, and you know, my staff knows that, and we've had honest, open conversations about that. Because when I do that, Jeff, and we provide everything that the coaches say they need, now we lay out expectations, and now we can hold folks accountable. And that's where I'm at with Penny, that's where I'm at with Ryan, and that's where I'm at with all of our head coaches, assessing those needs and then defining what those expectations are. And then at the end of the season, we'll sit down together and we'll have accountability conversations.
On the football stuff, I was at your presentation to the Board of Regents, where It was notable that they thanked you for transparency, and they said it was unusual, and I think people listening probably appreciate that as well. But in terms of the fundraising, you were at $21 million of the 25 to initially. You've gotten that up over for the football stadium.
Yeah.
You've gotten it up over 25 now.
Yeah, we're close. We have the pledges that need to be signed, but we do have the verbal commitments. Taylor and Christina and Brock and Nate on that staff have done a tremendous job. And kudos to our donors, right, for the new guy coming in. And you know, I'm moving at 100 miles an hour. I talk fast. I walk fast. And they've really supported us. So we're really close to unlocking that to get to that next
phase. How do you get 25 more million?
Oh, you got to do the work, Jeff. You know what that is. Relationships, right? Relationships to me are more important than money, because when the money runs out, I got to call on the relationships. And so that's what I'm doing right now, is just really trying to build the relationships. And I think we'll be able to get it. Now, we do have to right size some of the suites. I think Laird and Jeff, when they were planning this, you know, they had a vision, but that's theory, and now we're in the practice phase, and I think we got to right-size some of the suites so we can sell them and mobilize them a little better.
Smaller.
So I'm working with Popolis on that, our architect, to see what that will look like. But I'm confident we'll get there, and the university has been a great partner with us in making sure, because a lot of this is pledges, and as I've learned in Tennessee, you got to have cash in hand, so you either have to be backstopped by the university or the foundation as those pledges are coming in, and that's a testament to Bill Hardgrave and Renee, you know, our CFO at the institution, for helping us.
You said roughly 10,000, slightly more than 10,000 season tickets, but that your biggest source of concern is individual game sales, they had... your predecessor had projected $900,000 essentially of revenue in single game sales. North Alabama was $43,000 in revenue times 7. That does not get you close to $900,000.
Yeah.
it seems like that, without casting aspersions, seems like that forecast, that projection was way out of whack. But what is your level of concern about the individual game sales? And obviously, you got a big game tomorrow early. People got to get there early.
Yeah. So thanks for addressing that. Number one, I'm going to take the second part first.
Yeah.
11 a.m. kick, Memphis, we need you to stand up. We're one city. We need your support. Those young men are really, really good in that locker room, and they want to hear you in the stands tomorrow. So anyone listening, please be there. I'll be there at Tiger Lane if you want to yell at the new AD.
Where will you be? Just walking around?
Oh, yeah. I love interacting with the people. Now, it's going to sound funny when I say this to you. I'm actually introverted, right? So anyone who knows me really, really well laughs when everyone's
when you put on the shirt, when you do this?
Yeah, I love what I do so much. But when I go home tonight, right, so the night before football games are called family dinner night. And so if it's a road game on Thursdays, I eat with my family. I don't do anything else. And if it's a Friday, it's all family time. And then after that, I wake up and I put on my uniform, as I call it. My uniform is already picked out for the game tomorrow, and we're going to go to work. So I'll be all over Tiger Lane, and then I'll be up and down between the suites and the field. I usually don't sit down too much because I'm a little too passionate.
And the walk-up stuff, the season ticket. And I was kind of surprised that season tickets 2021, was it, were 14,000. Yeah. Now they're down to 10.
Yeah.
You got to build that back up, right?
We
do. Of course, you have the excitement of the new stadium coming, or the new refurbished stadium, which will hopefully be a rocket booster there.
Yeah, for sure. And listen, single game tickets are always hard to forecast. Having been an AD before, I don't want to cast any dispersions on Laird or Jeff. I don't know what they knew that I don't, right? And so you always have to understand that people who have been in the seat before have more information than you do when you arrive. So what I'm working with is Chris, our associate AD for tickets, and making sure that we're pumping it out and just trying to get to where we need to be. So we knew, you saw the full presentation, I was very transparent that we're going to lose almost 750,000 in season tickets if we sold every season ticket, because we just don't have the capacity.
Right.
And so that puts more of an onus on single game sales. And so that's where we're going to put our energy moving forward, and we'll come up with a strategy. Tim Duncan hit the ground running this morning. He's had meetings since 8:30. He drove in last night, and so I'll work.
He just arrived in the midst of all this. He just started today?
Yeah, well, you say the midst. To us, it's not the midst.
It's the midst. This is just life.
This is business.
That's when I walked in and I said to Ed, I said, what's it been like coming in and all this happening? He said, what happening? This is just life,
yeah.
Right?
This is my job, right? So I don't wake up in the morning and go, oh my gosh, I got to deal with this, right? I get to do this for a living. I am privileged. I am blessed. And you know,
you don't sit here and think, what did I get myself into?
No. Honestly, one time in one meeting, I did that in my first, I don't know, what is it, 38 days or something like that.
Right.
But outside of that, no. And here's why. You know enough about me. You do your homework. You're well researched. I come from a place where my mother's never made more than $18,000 a year, right? And I live really good, Jeff, right? So perspective matters. We opened up this conversation by me talking about making lunch for my daughter, right? That's humbling when a five-year-old is like, Daddy, I need strawberries in this side of the lunch box and I need blueberries here.
Right.
So the stuff in the media, I have thick skin. It's not going to bother me. I am going to get way too much credit and I'm going to get way too much blame. And so I'm a baseball guy, right? If I go 4-for-4, that means next game, chances are I'm not going 4-for-4. So I try to stay in the middle and stay even keel because I got a lot of people depending on me not to freak out.
It seems like you all had a hit with the Liza's Light campaign.
Oh, man.
Which was, I have to say, watching that video, you can't watch that without tearing up. And the response has been as it should be, which has been terrific, right?
Man, listen, I almost want to tear up talking to you about it, right? I'm a girl dad, and everyone knows how important that is to me. I didn't know Liza, but I can only empathize with what her family went through. And for us to be able to honor her and her family this way, it means everything. Yes, it's going to help our program, but sometimes, Jeff, in this business, we get to do the right thing, and that is actually the right thing to do. I can tell you, since we went public, I saw you there that day, and thank you for your coverage of it. That we've brought in almost another $1.5 million, right? That we need to close to move forward toward that $7 million. So it's really actually picked up after the ceremony that day.
You were gracious to come in. Anything you want to say before we let you get on with your duties?
I do. Yes. I want to say two things. I want to say thank you to you, right? You're known for being tough, but you're known for being fair, and you do your homework. And I also read your comments after my press conference, man, where you said it's one of the best you've ever seen at Memphis, any coach or athletic director, and all your time covering it. That means a lot to me. And I told the media I would be open and honest with them, and I plan to do that as long as you all continue to cover me fair. And to the city of Memphis, I want to be here. This is a place where I want to be. I need your support. Our coaches, our student athletes need your support. So Tiger Nation, get up early tomorrow and let's go beat Troy. Go Tigers, go.
So Brooks Monaghan was on the hiring committee.
Yeah.
And obviously he's done an unbelievable job here. It's almost crazy how what he's built here with how little he has had here.
Absolutely.
But he told me that he was blown away by what you did in front of the hiring committee. It was terrific. Like, the present prediction was fabulous.
Yeah.
But at the end he said, that was great. Are you real? And so I ask you,
yeah,
are you real?
You all have to tell me, right? People ask me, they say to me all the time, you're a really good leader. How do you do it? And I say, ask the people I lead. It's not for me to judge, right? At the end of the day, even with that press conference, Jeff, that wasn't a press conference. That was a conversation with my constituents. I'm right. Like this every day. And Dr. Hargrave told me that after the interview, he had to do more research on me and call more people that were not on my reference list because he goes, I need to know you're like this every day. And I think anyone who knows me knows one thing about me. When you get Ed Scott, you're going to get the same Ed Scott every day, good or bad, right? I'm not perfect at everything. My wife will tell you that, and I'm never letting her on your show. But with that being said, this is who I am, and you're going to get this every day. I'm full of energy. I'm passionate. I'm confident because I put the work in. And most importantly, I think that I can be unapologetically Ed Scott at Memphis and in this city. And that, for me, is what makes the fit so good. So, yes, this is me. There's no other shoe to drop, my man. And you're going to be the test, you know. You're going to be able to tell people.
Well, you're awfully gracious to come in. Thanks very much. I appreciate it. And we look forward to working with you, following you, see what happens down the road.
The feeling's mutual. Thanks for having me.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.